Thomas, we didn't make this during announcement, so this is sort of a pre-announcement or whatever. Thomas, who's sitting right here, is needing some help. We're having to relocate his shop to his home, so there's a lot of heavy-duty mechanical equipment. We had a lot of volunteers came out two Saturdays ago, and we got part of the way through, and we need to complete that. So, Thomas, raise your hand. I would say take off your hat, but I don't want it to blare me up here, so now you're blind me anyway. But Thomas is right there. If you can help him out in moving or whatever or something, just let him know, and then we're going to try to coordinate over this next week. He has to be out of his shop in the next 2 weeks and all, so we're going to try to help him out and get that done before then. So that's the first announcement. And where is Maria and Luke? Did y'all make an announcement earlier today during the service? You sort of plugged it. Well, plug it again for me, because I didn't hear. What happened last night? I'm just curious.
We got engaged.
Yeah, baby. So I sort of knew about this and knew about this thing, and me and Jody are watching the football game and trying to watch for posting on Facebook, and it didn't happen, and I'm like, which is going to happen first? We're going to hit the field goal, or is it going to be posted first or whatever? So, well, congratulations. And Maria, Luke, it's been several years ago that we met out. You remember what I'm talking about? Luke and I met in front of LeBerry, and we talked about you. I didn't know who you were at that time, and we were praying about things and talking about it, and it goes back a good way. So I'm excited for that. That's exciting news. So isn't that joyful? Doesn't that make you feel good to have that? So today we lit the candle of joy. We lit the candle of, did y'all show a Chuck Knows Church video too? Y'all didn't see a Chuck Knows Church on Nativity? How about showing a Chuck Knows Church? This is a video series. Do you know where it's at, Greg? No, sir. Maybe we won't show you Chuck Knows Church, but while they're finding it, if they find it. But this is the third candle, and we heard that it was joy. And joy, when you do that by definition, joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness that's caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Something good, something satisfying. We'll skip that, guys. Guys, we'll skip it. Okay, because I just put them, they all broke out in the sweat back there in that group. But so it's an emotion of great happiness. It's not happiness, but it's deeper than that. It's joy. Now, let me show you a couple slides here of what joy is to me. First slide is this. Georgia Southern beating Appalachian State, and they all rushed the field. I've never been in a place where they rushed the field. You understand what I'm saying? But, I mean, they were grown people crawling out of the stands, running out there on the field. And it was the same way last night. So when you win the game and you rush the field, that could be a time of joy. And it was raining. You can't tell that. But anyway, and then here's another one. I was at a wedding recently, and I had some of my friends, and we just, that's the maximum capacity of my arm length of how many I can get in a picture right there. And stretch it out, but we were there, and friends bring me joy. Do they bring you joy? Yeah. Well, some friends do, and some, but here's another one. This is a picture here. This is on my wall in my office. Now, many of you don't know this or remember this, but 9 years ago, we raised $23,000. This little church that struggles now to make ends meet, we raised $23,000 along with some others in our district to put a well in Africa. And we put it in a location that was so far in the rural area of Africa that they had a diesel truck that drove with them as they went out to go. And they went as far as they could go and still have enough diesel to get back. You understand what I'm saying? And dropped the well. And this is one of the young men, little boys, that was getting water for the first time from a well rather than having to carry it through for miles, that he still had to carry it, but he didn't have to. They were telling me stories about how that elephants are very greedy, and when they would dig a hole and they'd be water, that elephants would come and they would drink from it and they would stomp it out so nothing else could come and partake of it. So they had to battle with those type things, but that's joy. That's a picture of joy. Then here's another picture. One of our young people getting baptized here at church. And when he comes up, now, I'm not going to say that, but that's just joy, isn't it? Don't that just look, those are just great signs of joy. And then here is my favorite one, my most recent favorite one, is this one right here. Ricky and Nicole getting married. That look on Ricky's face, that's joy. And I don't know if Nicole's going, I got him now, you know, because I saw her calling you out over there, buddy. You're married now, so... But yet those are things that are joy. All of those things bring joy. And this is the season that we're in. And we all have stories that bring joy to our life. We all have things that bring joy in our life. But sometimes it's hard to see or feel joy. Sometimes things get to be so difficult. Even in times like this time of the year, when it's a supposedly a joyous time. But for some, we struggle with the loss of loved ones, those that have gone on before. Some of us struggle with just difficulties of the season, the financial burdens, the things. Sometimes the crowds can rob us of our joy, okay? I've been to Walmart. It can rob you of your joy, you understand? It can rob you of a lot of other stuff, too, you know. But there's some things that in this life, and then there's times where we got people graduating from school in the middle of the year. We got other people trying to decide what they're going to do. All kinds of things that go on that could take away joy. But we all have things that do bring us joy. And most of the time, those things that bring us joy are those things that come from things that we hope for, or that we really want, or that we anticipate. That picture of you on there, that you've been wanting that for a while. Actually, I don't know if you've wanted it as long as she's wanted it, but I mean, but that part of that anticipation. Today, we're going to hear a story in the Bible. Oh, before I do that, I want to show you another little thing about joy, because one of the things that you'll see if you come to the other campus, and remember, we made the big announcement last week. The big announcement was that we're going to combine this campus, and we're moving it in March to the other campus. So we'll be over at the Langston campus. We're just going to have two services, one at 9:30 and one at 11 o'clock, and we're going to be meeting over there. And then we're going to begin to transform that community around that church right beside Ogeechee Tech a half mile at a time. A half mile at a time, we're going to meet the people, get involved with the people. We've done the research. It's one of the lowest income places in Statesboro area. It's the highest population of Hispanics in the Statesboro area, and it's the most neediest in terms of people struggling in Statesboro. And we're moving over there to take what resources we have, people, stuff, finances, to try to make an impact in that area. And that's what the whole thing is. Now, I'll talk a little bit maybe about it later, but over the next several weeks, we definitely will. Over there, you'll see the Advent wreath. But because it's in a traditional church setting, we have a tree that's looks like a Christmas tree, but it's a Chrismon tree. And the Chrismon tree has Christ monograms. So there are white decorations on the tree that depict stories of Christ in the scriptures. But you'll also see, and you probably see these throughout, there's one I saw it today on the courthouse right in the yard, a nativity scene. Does everybody know what a nativity scene is? It's where you got the little Joseph and the little Mary, and then you got the little baby Jesus, and what other things are in a nativity scene? Animals, what'd you say? Lamb, what else? Wise men, the three kings, what else? Angel, there's angels. Some shepherds. The donkey. You married one, so you're okay. But look, this was from one of my grandmothers. And it's a little nativity scene. Now, it's old. I think it's old. It may not be old, but I think it's old because it came from my grandmother's, but it's... The little angel moves up at the top. The wise men are moving around. The shepherds moving around. And Jesus has got this glow around his head. And so this sort of brings me joy to see these things and remember these things. Yeah. Various things bring us joy. And sometimes in difficult times, we need those things to bring us joy. Now today we're going to go over a story that turns out to be a joyous time, but starts out to be a confusing time. It's a story about one of the characters in there. Her name's Mary. It's a story about when Mary found out that she was going to have a child, or have the baby Jesus. And I'm going to read this to you, and we're going to talk about it, so it may be a little different than I normally teach or preach, but I just feel like this is the way we ought to roll. So let me read you this. It says, this is in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, I'm just going to pause there a minute. Elizabeth is Mary's cousin, and she's older, okay? I'm just giving you a heads up. She's like way old, like ancient old, and never had any children. I mean, she was ancient old in that day. She was old and never had any children, and God, in a miraculous way, her and her husband came together, and she became pregnant with a special child. But an angel came to speak to Mary and began to tell her about her older cousin. Now, it's believed that Mary is around 13 to 15 years old when this conversation is going on. Okay, she's just a young woman, and you'll find out she's pledged to be married. Now, I'll explain to you about being pledged to be married in that time. Pledged to be married in their culture meant they could do everything that a married couple does except consummate, except sex. Okay? They could travel together. When that culture, you don't normally travel with a guy and a girl. You could travel together. They could room together because they trusted they wouldn't be doing the thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the way their culture was. And she's 13 years old, and she marries or is engaged to this older guy named Joseph. He's older. So here's the story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I want you to turn to somebody in this room and turn to them and say, "The Lord is with you." Now you say it back to them. The Lord is with you also. Okay, so the Lord is with you. This angel comes up and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now look at what Mary's reaction was. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Obviously, she's not used to having angels just pop up in her life and say these things like, "You're highly honored," or "You're highly favored, Lord, the Lord is with you." She's not like that. So this whole aspect of this, she's wondering what kind of greeting this might be. But listen to the angel's reply. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, I don't know how Mary took that first initial part of the conversation. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." It says that she's troubled, but whatever look or expression on her face was, the angel perceived that as being afraid. She got some information, and it was confusing to her. It wasn't what she anticipated. And you got to keep in your mind that this is still a 13-year-old who doesn't know much about the big picture of life, who hasn't been with a man, who probably has been told, because in that culture they probably talk a little bit earlier and discuss things, but whatever it is, she understands certain things, but she understands, "But I'm just pledged to be married to Joseph. I'm not actually married to him. And so I don't understand this." And she begins to be afraid at that moment. Or it looks like that. And he says, "Don't be afraid." And he begins to tell her these things that are about to happen about who this child is and how that's going to, or about what the child will be like. And she asked this question: "How will that be? How will this be?" Mary asked him, "Since I'm still a virgin." She can't wrap her mind around it. Even after he tells her to be afraid, not be afraid, she hears these comments, but now she's over her fear. Now she's like, "I don't understand. How can this happen? How can this be?" Many times, I'm going to suggest to you that many times when God comes to us, we don't get it initially. That many times when the Spirit of God comes to us and speaks to us about something that's really important that God wants us to do, that only we can do, that only we as an individual, only we as a community, only we can do, He comes to us and we don't get it initially. In fact, it's sort of intimidating. It's like this move from one campus to the other. Why would we leave this place? Why would we move into that? Why would we do this? Because we feel like God has called us to do that. It doesn't make sense. We don't understand. And quite frankly, I was pretty much afraid when we started getting these. We felt like several of us in the leadership were praying, and we felt like, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense. And we're trying to, you know, the place is smaller. It doesn't hold. It's not chairs. It's like they don't laugh. What? How do we do this? What do we do? How many people will go? Well, you know, and we get all this fear, or I did, and anxiousness. And I don't know about you, maybe you don't do that. Maybe God speaks to you and you just jump right at it and you can do it. You don't have questions. You're not afraid. You just do it. Maybe God tells you things that you're going to do in your future that's going to be big things, and you're sitting there going, well, I'm a nobody now, but I've always dreamed of being a somebody. But for many of us who come from nothing, heading to something is intimidating and scary to us because there's comfort in our nothingness. Comfort in our pain, they're comfort in our hurt, they're comfort in our suffering. There's a normalcy to bad stuff happening or things not happening to me. It always happens to somebody else. It's somebody else. God can't use me. But maybe you're not like that. But for me, that's the way I am. I don't deserve anything. And I think this is the type of woman that Mary is. But Mary follows up this angel. She asks questions. She said, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, and is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Don't you repeat verse 37? For no word from God will ever fail. One more time. For no word of God will ever fail. I don't get this. I don't get this. I do not understand how virgins have birth. I can figure it out in this day and time with technology and think, yeah, it can be done. But in that day and time, don't know. In that day and time, the kings, the rulers, come from a descendant of kings and rulers. They don't come from nobodies. They don't come from a person like Mary, or who was going to be betrothed to a man named Joseph. See, sometimes it just doesn't make sense when God calls us to do stuff. And sometimes when God calls us to do stuff, it's in the middle of the time when we think the least about who we are. It's mostly God comes to speak to us about what he wants to do. When we're at that point, we have nobody to depend on but God. We can't figure out about that job. We can't figure out how we're going to pay the bills. We can't figure out how we're going to graduate. We can't figure out how we're going to do this. I can't figure out how I'm going to make this relationship work. I can't figure out how I'm going to get over this addiction. I can't figure out how I'm going to do this business plan. I can't figure out all of these things. Happen, and we see that, and we're involved in that, the pain, the hurt. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this Christmas season. I'm missing this loved one so much who's no longer here. And in the midst of that, God comes to us and says, I got you. And not only do I got you, I got plans for you. Now, interesting thing here. Why would the angel tell Mary about Elizabeth? What does Elizabeth's story have to do with Mary's story? Do you catch what I'm saying? He's given her the explanation. Just leave Elizabeth out of this story. But what we find is there's a connection because there's a miracle in a way happening with Elizabeth. She was thought not to ever have a child. In fact, once they found the child, it was a miraculous event. Though it was humanly conceived, but it was a miraculous event. An angel spoke to them about what they should name their child and how that child lived. That child was told that it will be the one crying out in the wilderness to prepare a way for the Lord, to get ready for the Lord. Turns out his name's going to be John. We'll know him as John the Baptist later on. But the angel tells Mary, your cousin, that old lady, she's having a child. She thought they'd never have one. There she's having one. Matter of fact, she's in her 6th month. Now, our first candle was the candle of faith, love, and joy. She could have took that on faith, couldn't she? But listen to what the scriptures say that Mary did. At that time, Mary got ready. At what time? After she heard this. At that time, she got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. That's Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. Basically, Elizabeth lived, she's a country girl. And Mary, sort of a city girl. So she gets up and she goes out into the country, out into the boonies, to go out there and see her cousin, who she hadn't seen in a long time. She comes up, and when she gets there, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, 6 months old, well, 6 months developed inside the tummy, the baby in her womb leaped inside of her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let somebody tell you the Holy Spirit hadn't been around for a long time, because it was there, right there. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." I hadn't told you anything yet. Mary never says anything. She just sort of shows up and like, "Hey, how you doing?" or whatever. And then all of a sudden, "You're pregnant, and blessed is that child that you have. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for what? Joy. Not just happiness. Not just a smile on her face, but joy. This deep emotional thing. This 6 month developed little thing that's not, I don't even know when the ears come on a child when they're developed. I know the lungs are one of the latter stages. My point is that this something is connected and this baby jumps for joy. And she said, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises to her." See, I think what we see Mary do is she's got this information. She heard this phenomenal story about what God's going to do from her, or for her, or through her. But yet, even her not understanding it, she steps out in faith and heads to Elizabeth to verify it. See, I think what you see happening is something that we need to practice in our life. When we don't know how it's going to work, when we're not sure how it's going to do, God provides things or signs or people's words or communication to help confirm these things after we start moving toward them. See, as she starts moving toward Elizabeth and she comes to Elizabeth, then there's these confirmations that come. A baby leaps with joy. Things change. Mary changes. Because what you find that happens next, Mary starts to sing a song. It's recorded in there. Sometimes it's sang in I think it's called the Magnificat. Magnificat. And it's sang in Christmas time at this time of the year to sing this story. It's called Mary's Song. But she doesn't sing this song till she meets Elizabeth. She doesn't sing the song on the way. She doesn't sing the song after the angel leaves. After she got the word from God, you would think she would sing. She's still not certain. But as she moves toward Elizabeth, and as she reaches Elizabeth, God knows that's why she's going to see Elizabeth, not to see the little baby, not to check on her cousin, but to see, is God really going to do what he said? And when she sees Elizabeth and Elizabeth recognizes and confirms in her what she's heard, and there's no way Elizabeth should have known, then Mary, it must be real. Listen to her song. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He saw me," now I'm just ad-libbing, "he saw me when I was nothing. He saw me when I even feel like nothing. He recognizes, even in the midst of my struggles, even in the difficult times that I'm going through, He recognizes me. She continues, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him. And I don't mean to be afraid, like, ooh, He's going to get me. I mean who reverence Him, who care for Him, who love Him, who humble themselves. From generation to generation, we aren't in that first generation, we're in those latter generations, but it's for us as well. He has performed mighty deeds with His arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thought. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promises our ancestors. Greg, pull up that picture of that boy drinking water, please. See if you can get that up there. That's who we used to be as a church. That right there. We used to not worry about what we didn't have. What we focused is on what we had. And when God called us, we stepped out and we did it. Now, quite frankly, over the last 8 or 9 years, I've gotten scared. I started seeing dollar signs. I started seeing the empty seats. I start getting concerned. I see other things. I'm like, oh, God must not want to do anything with us. What I must have misheard what God's calling us to do as a church. Now, you don't know this. Some of my close confidants know this. That I struggle and I struggle. I'm like, but when I see this picture, it's up in my office. It's to remind me every day. And even when I saw it, that's who we are. We're the people of change. When we formed this church, when I started this church 10 years ago, it was to be a people of change, a change agent. To guide and direct you and myself to go out and make a difference in the world with whatever we had. If it's a little, we make a difference. Whatever it is, we do. We love people where they are, and we help them take their next step in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Come hell or high water, we're in it for the long run. At that time, God called us to build a well in Africa, and I'm like, I can't even pay the bills, and you want me to build a well in Africa? And I had the courage. And I think I had more courage than I had faith. I had the courage that I didn't care. My faith was still small, but my courage must have been bigger because we did it. And I think what happened over time, my courage has shrunk. And now my courage over time got smaller than my faith. And maybe you're there. Maybe you're there that you have faith in God. You believe God. You believe something is happening. God's wanting you to do something. You believe that you're created for more, and you believe it, and it doesn't have to take that much. You just don't have the courage that's great enough to step. See, to me, it's not Mary's faith that led her to joy. It's the courage to get up and take the steps to go see Elizabeth. And when she gets there, it gets verified. When they're drinking water and there's lives and a community now being built around that well, it's verified. That's why we're moving to the other campus. Not because we don't like this place. Not because of what, I don't even know what could be. God's called us to Statesboro, called you to be here in this moment, in this time. I don't care if you live way up in Noonan, Georgia. I know that God called you here today for a reason. And you got up and you came. Now, you got up and you came, and that took courage. You didn't know what you were going to get. You didn't know what you were going to come into. It just took courage to get up and come. All I'm asking is to take the faith that God has given you so far, and I'm just wanting you to help get courage. And I need you to help me to have courage. We have to have courage that even when we don't, even when it doesn't feel good, even when it isn't all smiles, even when our feet hurt from the walk to go see what God's called us to do, we still have the courage to keep walking. And I would say we have the courage to encourage one another on the way. There's people in this room today who this is the hardest season of the year because of the memories that it digs up. And sometimes we're so involved in our own world that we fail to see those that are sitting right beside us and giving them a few minutes of our time and saying, I just care. You're going to run into people over the next several days, over the next several weeks that are even in your family or in your circle of influence that need you. And I'm going to tell you, you need them. You need them. And then you're going to come to this point where you're here and they're there, and there's going to be this distance of what do I do now? I don't know how. I don't know what. I'm just saying to you, just take a step toward it. Just take a step toward it and live into this story. Live into this story, and I'm telling you that your faith will go to love for others. And from love, you'll see what real joy is as you start to make a difference in this world. So today as we close, I want you to bow your heads and just going to have a moment of silence. And I want you, if you have the courage, well, let's rewind. That's terrible. I just want you to have enough courage to just pray to God right now. No matter where you are in your walk, no matter how close you are, how far you are, just pray to God and just say, God, you just pray this. I'm just going to sort of guide you on this, but God, help me. I believe enough right now to pray to you. I don't know what you have in store for me. I don't know what you want me to do, but I do believe I matter to you. So, God, I just pray you would help me take this little bit of faith that I have and give me the courage to step out and live a life of love as best I can. When I fall down, when I mess up, help me back up. Help me keep moving toward these things that will confirm and affirm what you have in store for me. Help me to move past my sight, and help me to move past my just feelings. And trust you have called me to a purpose greater than myself. God, give us courage. God, give us courage. This is our prayer.